Orioles lose last night 4-0. They are 8-10 in their last 18 games, and they seem to be allergic to hitting with runners in scoring position. And joining us now to talk some Orioles baseball, our buddy Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. So, Jacob, thank you as always for joining us. They are still in first place. They have one of the best records in baseball. How concerned are you about what you're seeing with the Orioles right now?
Yeah, I would say the concern level is pretty low, but at the end of the day, you know, they're 8-10 in their past 18. The offense is not scoring as many runs as it was earlier in the season. And I don't need to remind anybody about the struggles with runners in scoring position. So, you know, these are the lulls that happen through a season. They're still middle of the pack in you know, offensive production with runners in scoring position. You expected coming into the season a little bit of regression in that area after they led Major League Baseball in production in clutch situations last year. And I think they've been able to overcome some of that regression because of the increase in home runs. But when you go through a little bit of a drought with the home runs, you're kind of seeing the result of that. And so, you know, there's some fear of being too home run dependent when you get to October, but actually studies have shown that the teams that are more home run dependent actually perform better in October than the teams who aren't. Now, that's not going to help anybody if they get swept in the postseason again and they don't hit any home runs. But I don't think it's too much of a cause for concern at the moment.
Would you say that this team is too home run reliant?
No, I don't think so. But a couple more weeks of this, then yeah. But I would not say that at the current moment. I think this team has still shown that they can pass the torch, whatever cliche you want to use. I do think at times it's not as prolific as it was last year. I remember last year there were multiple instances where they, you know, batted around in a game, and it just felt like they were singling and walking teams to death. Whereas this year, it feels more of a powerful approach. At the end of the day, I believe they're still tops of the league in runs per game and a lot of other offensive categories, specifically slugging percentage and home run. But I wouldn't say they're too home run reliant, but you know, I do think they can improve in terms of the quality of their at-bats on a nightly basis.
Jacob, they're facing another lefty tonight, and it brings up the fact that it'd be a nice time to have Kobe Mayo in the major leagues. It just seems clear and clear that Ramon Urias, and to me at least, that Ramon and Jorge Mateo just don't look like everyday players. How soon do you think we see Kobe Mayo?
Yeah, I said a couple weeks ago that I would be surprised if he wasn't up here by the end of the month. I would probably still stick by that. This week did seem like a perfect opportunity given how many lefties are going to see on this homestand, but alas, it's not the case. But I think there's a couple factors here that maybe not everybody knows for sure. And the big one is, and it's kind of a quagmire, and it's, is Kobe Mayo's defense good enough to play up here on a regular basis? And if he is up here, how do you play him? Where do you play him? And if his defense isn't good enough, do you still call him up? Still play him at third every once in a while, and then DH him a significant amount of the time. It's a question mark because you look at the prospects that they've caught up in the past. You've got Adley and Gunner. They got caught up and played every day. And then you have the guys like Kowser and Joey Ortiz and Connor Norby, and they got caught up and did not play a ton. I think Kobe Mayo would probably slot into where Jordan Westberg did last season, if you remember. He started around two-thirds of the games. Played most of the games either pinch hitting or coming in as a defensive replacement. I would think Kobe Mayo, whenever he does get called up, gets a similar treatment to what Westberg got last year, where he's going to maybe play two-thirds of the games, and maybe they don't want to call him up too soon and have him, you know, maybe not get as many at-bats as he would get down there.
Jacob, the Orioles made a roster move, bringing up Birch Smith from AAA, optioning Dylan Tate. I believe last week for the Sun, you put out an article just of all the other options.
Yeah, where was Birch Smith, Jacob? I didn't see Birch Smith in the piece.
I know. I was kicking myself today about not including Birch Smith.
No, I guess, were you surprised that the Tucker Davidsons, Chase McDermott, that they didn't opt for one of those guys in your piece?
No, well, slightly, a little bit of inside baseball. There were like 8 or 9 names that I had listed, and I was like, you know what, it's probably more compelling if I keep this list to like 4 players instead of 8. So I can, you know, you guys don't know if I'm telling the truth or not. But no, I'm not necessarily surprised. I think if you're going to send out a right-handed reliever, it makes sense to call up a righty. And then if you look at the other righties that were candidates, Chase McDermott's one of them. He came off one of his worst outings of the season on Saturday, and perhaps they still see him as a starting pitcher right now, or they don't want to make that move yet to bring him up and pitch him out of the bullpen. And Birch Smith is a guy that, at least for the short term, you know, he has a significant amount of professional experience. And so if you're going to say, hey, we need a bullpen arm, maybe we want to get Dylan Tate some more work in AAA, you know, it makes sense to call up a veteran who can, you know, probably maybe have a lower ceiling but a higher floor than a younger guy that doesn't have as much experience.
We're talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Inside Access here on The Fan. Jacob, maybe this is my lunacy, but I am curious to get your thoughts on this, and I've been talking about it since the probables came out. For me, I want Corbin Burns pitching on Tuesday so that he can pitch in the Yankee series. I don't personally care about the All-Star game. He's pitching on Wednesday. And maybe I'm way off on this. I feel like he wants to pitch in the All-Star game, so he's pitching Wednesday, so he's eligible for the All-Star game. Am I nuts?
Yes, you're nuts, but yeah. Maybe not for this reason. I understand those arguments. I think there's a couple factors here. One, you can't ignore the fact that Corbin and his wife just had twins. He flew back home on Monday. He's kind of been all over the place. I don't, you know, need to explain to anybody that probably having twins and dealing with that is probably something that takes a lot out of you. And so maximizing him to an extent where he's going to start on 4 days rest a couple times in a row in the hottest month of the year, you know, might not make a ton of sense. Secondly, Corbin Burns is the caliber of pitcher that he probably gets a pretty heavy say in his schedule. And so if Corbin really wanted to pitch on Tuesday and Sunday, that's probably what would have happened. And that's so he deserves the right to want to pitch in the All-Star game. This team does have a little bit of wiggle room here. You know, they've played really well this season. It's not like they're, you know, fighting for a wild card spot in every single game. It's kind of life or death. And then the last thing that might have played a factor here is I don't know how many times you want Corbin Burns to really pitch against the Yankees this year. If that's your most likely opponent in an ALCS, you know, I know it's looking ahead a little bit too much, but, man, it could be nice to have Corbin Burns go into a potential seven-game series against the Yankees and haven't faced them all season, and then, you know, he has to go out and face them a couple of times in a playoff series. That actually could be a benefit. So there's a lot of factors to this one. I do understand that it would have been nice to perhaps maximize him, but if you really go through it, if he had pitched on Tuesday, I know not everything's equal, they probably still lose that game because of the offense, and then who knows what's going to happen on Sunday.
Jacob, the Orioles, it seems like we got a couple of platoons in the outfield, although Brandon Hyde going a little bit different, swapping out Colton Cowser for Cedric Mullins against the lefty and Justin Steele today. But the Hayes, Kerstad, Mullins, Cowser platoons, what do you think of them?
Yeah, I think it's a couple different ones. So the it seems like Hayes and Kerstad is becoming a legitimate platoon. It's not that they're both, you know, it's not that they're always in left field every day, but since Kerstad was called up, I think they've played 15 games, and one of those guys, but not both, has been in the lineup 13 of the 15 games. So it's really a platoon between those guys, with Hayes mostly playing against lefties and Kerstad mostly playing against righties. And the production there has been great. Both of those guys are tearing the cover off of the ball. The challenging thing with this team at the moment is I don't know if you could say that they're down a right-handed bat, although that might go into the Coby Mayo argument. But yeah. Against left-handed pitchers, this lineup is kind of weird because Colton Cowser has been playing a lot. Most of his playing time recently has come against left-handed starting pitchers. He's not in the lineup tonight. That's Cedric Mullins. But for Colton Cowser, who's hitting much better against righties than against lefties, his easiest path to playing time at the moment is playing center field against lefties, because you need to have either Mullins or Cowser in center. And so, but they're both left-handed hitters. So that's kind of the weirdest part about the current construction of the team right now is when they face a left-handed pitcher, who plays in center, and then how much of that player's playing time is really coming against pitchers that they don't match up well against.
Jacob, before we let you go, be remiss. We're 19 days away from the deadline. How aggressive are you expecting the Orioles to be as we're less than 3 weeks out?
Probably not as aggressive as fans would like them to be, but maybe a little bit more aggressive than last year. Does that make sense? So I don't.
That's a low bar, Jacob.
Yeah, there's a lot of low bars, but we won't get into that. So, I think it's unlikely from where I sit, and again, this is just speculation, that this team goes out and gives up one of their top prospects to get a pitcher like Garrett Crochet or Skubal, who, you know, has maybe a little bit of a track record, but for Crochet specifically, might have to be a reliever this year, has already had a history of arm injuries, doesn't have a track record of pitching in the postseason or being any sort of innings eater, and you give up one of your top prospects for a guy that you just never know what's going to happen to these pitchers, and then you lose 6 years of Kobe Mayo or Samuel Basayo. And so I think there are a lot of pitchers on the market who fill a blended role of being good enough to be this team's number two or three starter, who can fill innings, who has a track record, but will not cost you a ton. And so just one name, again, total speculation, but I think it makes some sense, is a guy like Zach Eflin for the Rays. The Rays, if they decide to sell at the deadline, Eflin has a contract. He's due $18 million next year, so that's a factor for the Orioles if they want to pay that. But Eflin's a guy that has experience in the playoffs. He's a veteran. He has a track record of, you know, staying healthy. He's one of the best strike throwers in baseball. He would be this team's number three starter. And so I think that fits a lot of the things that you're looking for. And so that's my guess is what they do is they go out and get a pitcher that can slot in as a credible number two or number three starter in this rotation.
Orioles try to salvage 1-3 against the Cubs tonight. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.